Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
We're going to get on to our penultimate principle, courage. You might find an unusual one to consider as a principle, kind of a little bit like excellence. Sometimes we look at these sort of words and we don't really think they're super spiritual. Should they really be a church principle? I want to assure you that courage is absolutely quintessential to the Christian walk. You have to be courageous. And so it is one of our principles. I think the problem with courage is we tend to look at fear as being the enemy of courage. You see, many of us have phobias. Many of us have fears. Let's be honest about it. Who in the room does not have a fear? We're all honest. Isn't that fantastic? Let me show you a few fears. Xanthophobia is the fear of yellow. Okay, you're all safe today. I won't scare you today. Turophobia. Jeez. Hylophobia. Trees. Somnophobia, that's an obvious one. The fear of falling asleep. Anyone get that one? See, we laugh at these because they seem so bizarre. But let me tell you, if you had one of these fears, you could be just absolutely crippled. So what are you afraid of? Let me assure you, you have fears. I have fears. Is fear the problem? Is fear the bad guy? You see, we often want to demonize fear. And I say that in the real sense. We want to treat fear like it's the bad guy. And we can't be courageous because we experience fear. And what we hope for in our life is that the fears will go away, that we'll no longer experience fear. And I want to tell you that would probably be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you if your fears went away. Because for many of us, our fears are what keep us alive. It's the fear of dangerous drugs that stop me doing them. It's the fear of getting caught that stops me stealing. It's the fear of excess when I see that open road and a car that's got the ability to go way beyond the speed limit. It's the fear of going thud when someone says to me, why don't we go skydiving? Are the wings going to be on fire? Why would you jump out of a plane for no good reason? So sometimes our fears are what keeping us alive. The fear is not the problem. You don't want to be fearless. You want to be courageous. And this one might do your head in, but listen, you cannot be courageous unless you have fear. Fear is the necessary prerequisite for you to be courageous. If you have no fear in your life, you are in trouble. If you have fear in your life, you are in the right room. Because I want to tell you, you are not in trouble because you have fear. It is not fear that's crippling you. It's the lack of courage that's crippling you. If you feel fear, don't feel alone. We've all got it. The trick is not to wish it would go away, pray it would go away, go and have a fast and prayer meeting, and this fear's not going away. You better hope it doesn't. But what you need to do is learn how to be courageous in the face of fear. In many ways, fear is God's gift to us because it keeps us alive. It causes us to press in. When you're afraid, you want to cling to people you love and find someone you trust. You want to call out to God. Fear is not a bad thing. It's a healthy thing. Adam and Eve sinned. And the first thing they did was realize, we're starkers. So they grabbed a couple of leaves, sewed them together, and ran and hid behind the bushes. And when God came down, he says, Adam, Eve, where are you? And they said, we heard your voice and we were afraid. See, without the fear, they would have stayed there in arrogance, standing there in sin before God, going, but we're as good as you now. We know good from evil. We now realize we're naked. You don't tell us what to do. But fear is what caused them to run and hide. So fear can be a very effective tool in the hands of God. And so again, I say, if you struggle with fear, praise God, because together we will become courageous. I don't want your fears to go away. You don't want your fears to go away. You want to learn to overcome. Fear, very much like hope, is a future event. Okay? Romans 8:24 says, for we're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what do you hope for what you've already got? So I want to tell you something. If you have fears, you're not fearing what has already been, or it wouldn't be fear. It would just be an experience. And you wouldn't fear an experience that's been and gone. So fear is always in the future, just like hope. It's not real. It has no capacity to affect your life unless you bring it into your present. You're fearing something in the future now. What? Why would you fear something that might happen? I might go broke. Yeah, you might. I might get sick. Yeah, you might. Part of the fallen world, you might. You probably will. Why are you fearing it? Fear is debilitating. Fear is controlling your mind. It can squish your heart. It can rip your future away. If you bring your fears of what might and even possibly could happen into the now, you've robbed yourself. Now, is fear the bad guy? No. Fear brings us to a point of decision. So when I fear ill health, I have two options. When you fear ill health, you have two options. I don't want anyone to miss it. There is only two options. If you fear ill health, your option is be intimidated by it, be squished by it. Or you see that fear, you embrace the possibility, the reality, and then you choose to fight it, overcome it. Now, let's say I'm sick. Let's say I have a horrible diagnosis. Okay, it's no longer a fear. It's a reality. Okay, so I feared a bad diagnosis. The diagnosis came to pass. I'm no longer afraid of it because I got a piece of paper saying, you're sick. Now what do? Well, I quickly run away and I start fearing what's going to happen when I'm dead. Isn't that what we do? It's like a default, right? We default to fear. It is a conscious decision to not allow myself to go there and worrying. When I have the opportunity, fear presents itself. My choice is I worry. I'm intimidated by the possibility of the worst case scenario, or I see that fear and go, blow it. I am not going to be afraid of this. I refuse to be intimidated by this. I am bigger than this problem. If you don't learn to overcome, your fears will overcome you every single time. Fear is not a passive thing. It's very active in all of our lives. Are you an overcomer or are you overcome? Does fear overcome you or do you overcome fear? Good question. If you learn to overcome, you're exercising courage. Courage is a choice. You know, Winston Churchill said, fear is a reaction and courage is a choice. That's why it's a principle, because you have to choose it. You have to stand for it. You have to fight for it. You have to live for it. It doesn't come naturally to anybody. There is a disease called anorexia. Do you know what that is? The inability to feel fear. You're in trouble if you have that. Anyone have it? Good. We're all healthy. We're all experiencing fear. So now we have to learn, how do we move through our fears? How do people overcome? How do the greats become great? Oh, well, they're fearless. Poppycock, they're fearless. Everybody that has achieved anything great has experienced fear. I promise you. There is no one in all of history, other than someone who might suffer terribly from anorexia, who doesn't experience fear. Even the greatest of the greats go through it. And I'll tell you how the greats do it, is they have a greater truth than the fear. They had this firm conviction that I can overcome this thing. Doesn't mean you can change the circumstance, but it means that you can overcome fear. You see, if I still get sick and my diagnosis is terminal and I'm going to die in 12 months and I put my faith in God and I live every single day, but I still die in 12 months, I have not been overcome by fear. I choose whether fear takes me or not. Fear is a wonderful opportunity for me to choose every single day not to fall into what is intimidating, not to become a victim to things, but to stand and go, I don't care if this thing kills me. I'm not going to become a victim. If you're a victim, that's your choice. Oh, you'd understand that was a harsh thing to say. I know how it sounds, but just because someone has hurt you, abused you, spoken rough things to you, you're the one who chooses to stay a victim. If it's in the past, put it at the cross and get up and go. Because if you don't, you stay there. I did a little bit of neurolinguistic studies many years ago. I find it fascinating how the brain can lock you into somewhere if you don't break it. I know a woman who was abused at the age of 4, sexually abused at the age of 4, right? Her brain has locked in the smell of Old Spice. I was out with her one night, wasn't that sort of relationship, but I was out with her. And she froze and broke into a sweat. I didn't know what the heck's going on. So it took months to find out the backstory, but that's what it was. A man walked past wearing Old Spice. You're intricate, man. Let me tell you, you are a very intricate creation. And you better start realizing fear is part of your nature. It's part of your default position. You don't run from fear. You run to it. You smash it in the face and you run right over the top of it because it's going to keep coming up. So you better learn how to be courageous and victorious, or you're just going to always feel perpetually beaten and overcome by that fear. It's not going away. But you can run right over the top of it every time it stinks its head up. Let me tell you what the greatest truth is for us as Christians. See, the truth that most people hold to, and we hold to, maybe you do. Let me suggest you should take this on if you don't. We hold to the truth that the view of you is more important than your view of your circumstances or your world. Because let me assure you, God has a view of you, and you have a view of you. And my recommendation is that you make your view of you subject to what God says of you. And he says you're loved, and he says you're cherished, and he says you're powerful, and he says you're mine. Now that's where you get self-esteem from. Not from some accolade, not from some education, not from building a business, not from buying this and selling that. Your self-esteem, your entire self-worth comes when you understand, I am his. And you look in the mirror and you think, why? Stop using your measures of assessment to assess you. Use God's measure of assessment to measure you, to assess you, and you say, I wouldn't have given my life for me, but he did. He saw a value in this clump of meat that I do not see, but he thought it was worth dying for. Some of you need a revelation on your true worth. Some of you need a revelation on what actual value is. It's not what you achieve. It's not what you do. It's who you are and who is in you. Stop trying to get God's favor. You've got it. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you. 1 John 4:4. Here's the truth that we have as Christians. Here is the view of you that you need. For you are of God, little children. And have overcome. Because he who is in you is greater than anyone, anything, any power, any principality, any sickness, any trouble, any relationship, any government, anything. The one who is in you is the greatest. That makes you a vessel of greatness. So when those fears just pop up, as they do, they're going to do it now, and they're going to do it this afternoon after lunch, and then before bedtime, and then tomorrow when you start thinking about work, and they're just going to keep popping up. The choice is, will you be intimidated by them, or will you go, woo, another fear to crush? I've got some news. Life is not meant to be a cruise down the river. I like cruising, but that's not life. It's a holiday. Life is full of fights and victories. Fights, victories. Sometimes there's a fight and a defeat, but predominantly, my friends, as believers, we're meant to be living in this realm of fight, victory. Why? Not because you're Muhammad Ali, but because the one who is in you is greater than anything in this world. Seen, unseen, known, unknown, principality, power, you are greater than it. You know, Isaiah reckons, when we see the devil, we're going to cack ourselves going, is this the bloke that we were scared of? Are you kidding? This is the guy that caused governments to crumble. Oh my goodness, how stupid were we? Well, because we didn't realize that the one dwelling in us is greater. Now, I would not recommend calling a prayer meeting and trying to raise up the hordes of hell and go, okay, this is not a good idea. Jude would tell you not to do that. But let me tell you something. If you were to be walking down the street and Satan himself were to leave hell and come and confront you, you should have this realization. Get out of my way, you turkey. I'm going that way. Sometimes you've got to be a bit of a stubborn Zach. Do you have the foggiest clue how powerful you could be? I bet you don't even think about, you don't spend enough time thinking about, I have got the Spirit of God dwelling in me. Think about it. Just for a nanosecond, think about it. All those things that are troublesome in your life, you have the power to speak into them with authority. No, you don't understand. My circumstances are tough. Why do you think we're having this conversation? Everybody's circumstances are tough. Fear does not stop coming. Fear comes to intimidate, steal your joy, steal your hope, steal your life. Jesus came to give you hope, give you faith, give you life, and his Holy Spirit. You have in you the ability to overcome everything. Now, what's not covered under everything? The one who's living in me is greater than anything I've ever faced and ever will face, and I'm going to start putting on my big boy pants and fight. Enough sooking in the corner. Nothing gets won, nothing gets done. You got to get up. Don't fear. It's not real. The circumstance might be real, but fearing the circumstance is inane. It is dumb to worry about stuff. One of my favorite heroes in the Bible is Gideon. You can read about him in Judges chapter 6 through to 8. To me, Gideon is one of the most misunderstood blokes in the Bible. When I hear guys tell the story of Gideon as if some sort of a coward, it makes my blood boil. When I look at Gideon, I don't see a man cowering. I see a strategist. I see a man who's got four nations that come down strategically right before harvest, and they bring so much of their cattle and people, and they just wander through the whole of the land and stealing everything, right? This has been going on for about 7 years. Just keep coming down and raiding and raiding and raiding. They don't kill anyone. They just pillage. They steal. So Gideon, he's got this wine press, and right before harvest, he goes and grabs as much wheat as he can. He's quickly threshing wheat before these muggles come and steal from him. Oh, he's hiding. He's not hiding. He's hiding the wheat. He's threshing wheat in private, in secret, so these thieves won't take it. This is not a coward. This is a smart man. Because if the Midians caught him, they'd skin him alive. I don't see a coward. I see a man who, when an angel says to him, "You great man of valor," he doesn't go, "Oh, no, not me." This is a warrior by his, at his very core, this man is a fighter. When he gets called to battle, he doesn't go, "Oh no, not me, I couldn't." He goes, "Hang on, wait, where's God? Where's God? Why has he turned his back on his people?" So this is a man who's not a coward, he's strategic. He's not a foreigner to God, he knows God. And he says this line, you know, but my people are the least of the least. This guy is an Abizarite. He's in the half tribe of Manasseh. He's a nobody. But inside him is a courageous young man waiting to come out. And the wheat gives him this opportunity to start showing his courage. The famine and the raiding parties. "I'm going to be courageous. Am I fearful? You bet. I know it's going to happen to me. But I don't care because I'm courageous. I'm going to get this done. My family's going to die if I don't thresh this wheat." He's standing before God. Listen, he had this revelation. He had stood before God. Anyone had that revelation? He wasn't anything different to you and I. Just a man like you. The thing is, he is not a coward. He has in him this seed of greatness, and it just takes the right opportunity to come. And it just so happens that when he's told to do something by the Lord, you don't see him put on his brave shirt and "I'm a superhero" and go for it. It says here, "And so Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord said to him, but because he feared." So he's courageous and he's strategic, but he's fearful. He fears his own father's household and the men of the city. And so he did what he was told to do, but he did it at night. You see, Gideon is not a hero because he was fearless. Gideon was a hero because in spite of the fear, he plucked up the courage and did what he was told to do. Now, I've got a few heroes in the Bible. Jesus is one of them. Anyone heard of Jesus? Do you know Jesus was scared? "Oh, no, not the Son of God." "Oh, yes, the Son of God." He was so petrified in that garden, so petrified, he burst the capillaries in his head. He was so petrified. And he says to his father, "Anything but this." Jesus was scared to death. He was scared for his life. But he plucked up the courage in spite of the fear and says, "But not my will, but your will be done." Oh, anyone heard of the Apostle Paul? He sounds like the sort of guy that's got foot and mouth disease, always charging ahead. Let me tell you, he was fearful. He had heaps of times where he admits, "I was fearful when I came for you. I was fearful for my life. I was fearful, fearful, fearful." But remember, he's coming down to Jerusalem and Agabus meets him down at the beach. Anyway, Agabus grabs his belt and wraps his hands and he goes, "If you go to Jerusalem, buddy, it's going to happen to you. And in case you're not sure, you're going to die. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die." That would make me a little bit fearful. Anyone else? So Paul says, "Why are you breaking my heart, man? I know I'm going to die, but I'm ready. I've got courage because I know what's waiting for me on the side. And if I get to preach the gospel, I don't care. I can run over the top of my fears of rejection. I can run over my fears of starvation, of freezing to death, of going to prison, of dying." Do you have enough of a revelation that you are God's and that His Holy Spirit is living in you that you could face anything, including death? You should be able to. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you as much as you haven't had enough of a revelation. Because once the Holy Spirit's already indwelling He doesn't move out and come back in. He's there. He dwells inside the believer. But the problem is the believer needs to have a revelation on who's dwelling in them. Have you had a revelation who's dwelling in you? The same Holy Spirit that breathed life into Adam. The same Holy Spirit that moved every time Jesus commanded a miracle to happen, miracles happened. Every time the disciples saw miracles, that was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the same one living in you. And when John G. Lake goes and opens up the healing rooms and sees thousands and tens, in fact, up to 100,000 people healed in those ministry rooms, guess which Holy Spirit it was? Is there anything special about John G. Lake, Wigglesworth, Spurgeon? Are they any different to you? Do they have a different Holy Spirit than you? Then we should be the type of people that embrace fear. We should be the type of people that take a challenge head on. Fear is going to come. The question is, what are you going to do? Is it going to overcome you or are you going to overcome it? Fear is not going to stop coming, and I pray for you if it ever does. Fear has to keep coming because it continues to bring you to that point of, I choose to be courageous. Without the fear, you are not exercising courage. You need to experience fear because it's part of life. But more than experiencing fear, you need to experience overcoming it. Would anyone like a little bit of overcoming? Or just a little bit more overcoming? You know, when an animal eats another animal, I get a taste for it. I reckon the church doesn't have a taste for victory. I think the church has bought a lie that you're supposed to be quiet and sit in the room, in the corner in the room, and don't you say a word. And we've taken on this passive persona that the world has given to us, and we have forgotten who is living in us. Do you know, I used to be so riddled with fears as a kid. I mean, I was scared of heights, I was scared of phones, I was scared of flying, I was scared of people, I was scared of everything. Oh, I'm no Superman, let me tell you. All I did was decide one day that I was sick of being intimidated. Are you sick of being intimidated by fear? Because it's not going to stop happening. Fear is going to keep coming. But you have to be sick to death of the intimidation in order to overcome it. And if you have this revelation, the same time that you get sick to death of being intimidated by fear, you become a very dangerous person because there's nothing you can't do. If you want a victory, something that you have feared, I'm not talking about the situation necessarily changing. I'm talking about overcoming a fear that's been riding you. Whether it's been a week, a month, a decade, I don't care. If you have a fear that you want overcome, stand up and you're going to say after me, I am of God. I am His child. I am an overcomer because He who is in me is greater than he who's in the world.
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.